Okay, if you will, why don't you turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. It is a new quarter. I appreciate Eric teaching for me last week. And so my responsibility is to teach this quarter. And initially I told Dwayne, I'm going to teach on 1 and 2 Timothy. And then I realized that's pretty unrealistic to make it through both of those books in 3 months and give them the detail that we should give them. So I anticipate that we're probably only going to make it through 1 Timothy. We won't make it into 2 Timothy. But if we have time, we'll make it into 2 Timothy. But I truly just think we're going to be limited to the book of 1 Timothy. And Timothy is an interesting book, along with some of the others in the New Testament. You know, we have 1 and 2 Corinthians, Romans, Ephesians, Galatians, Colossians, all of which are letters from Paul written to groups of people, congregations. Even Romans and Hebrews fall into those same categories. John's letters are the same way. They're, for the most part, written to multiple people as opposed to individuals. But 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, Titus, Philemon, those four books. We may throw some others in there too, but for sure those four books are written to individuals rather than to groups of people. And I've just always wondered how these letters came to be public knowledge. Just a very interesting question. I don't know that we're going to have an answer for it, but just something to throw out there for your consideration. You know, just imagine for a minute that Dwayne or Bob write you a letter. And it's written to you, and then you opt to share it not just with everybody here, but with all congregations everywhere. It's just kind of a strange thing that we have these letters. I think it's a good thing that we have these letters, but it's just always made me wonder, how is it that these letters from Paul to these individuals, how is it that they actually ended up being part of the Bible? Of course, God wanted it to be that way, but you know, Paul likely wrote multiple letters, but these are the ones that we have. So today we're going to spend a lot of time looking at kind of some background information about Timothy, about the book itself. And if we have time, we'll make it into the first chapter, but I wasn't quite planning on that. So let's just start with some general information about the book of 1 Timothy. I sort of gave it away, but who wrote the book of 1 Timothy? Who's the author here? That's Paul, right? We know that from the very first verse. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God, our Savior and Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. And then verse 2 tells us to who it's written. To Timothy, a true son in faith. So here Paul is writing to Timothy. Well, let's take a minute and talk about Timothy. What do we know about Timothy? So let's just pause for a minute and what do we know about Timothy? From the Bible. Alright, so we know some things about his mother and his grandmother. All right, we'll turn to some of those verses in just a minute. Do we know anything else about his family? What do we know about his father? Yeah, his father was a Greek. So let's actually go to Acts chapter 16. Probably a good place to start. Well, that's kind of funny. We're going to study about 1 Timothy, and the place we're going to start is Acts chapter 16. But we're actually going to spend a lot of time in Acts today. All right, so in Acts chapter 16, somebody read, let's just read verse 1 for right now.
Then he came to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, and Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman, believed, but his father was Greek.
All right, so we actually learned three things about Timothy in this verse, don't we? So, two of the things we've already mentioned, right? We mentioned that his father was Greek. We know that. His mother was Jewish. And then something else that we learned. Where's Timothy from? All right, he's from Lystra. Yeah. Paul went to Derbe, then he went to Lystra. I get the understanding here that he's from Lystra. Now, Lystra is in the region of Galatia. So, when Paul writes his letter to the Galatians, there isn't a church of Galatia. There are multiple churches. So Lystra and Derbe would have been one of the, would have been two of those. Timothy, it seems, is from Lystra in the region of Galatia. His mother was Jewish. His father was Greek. Now, Kevin, you mentioned grandmother. Where do we learn of Timothy's grandmother? Ooh, anybody know? I know, but which letter is it? So is it 1 Timothy or 2 Timothy? 2 Timothy. All right, 2 Timothy. Somebody turn 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. And not only do we learn about his grandmother, we learn their names too.
And I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also.
All right. So now we learn really all we know about Timothy's family. So Timothy's mother was Eunice. His grandmother was Lois. And his father's name we don't know. His father was Greek. And so Lois and Eunice were faithful Christians. We don't know about Timothy's father. I find it interesting that here Eunice is... It would also have been a Jew. She is faithful. So it just strikes me as how did this marriage between between Eunice, Timothy's mother, and this Greek man happen? It just always strikes me as how did this come about? But we see that Timothy's mother and his grandmother had influence over Timothy, because Paul here says, your grandmother and mother were faithful, and I believe that faith is also in you. But we also know that Timothy's father had influence on him. Not only his name, right? Timothy is a Greek name. But also, we know something else about Timothy. Let's go back to Acts chapter 16. And I'm just skipping all over my notes here. Acts chapter 16. Somebody read, let's read 1 through 3 this time.
Then he came to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy, the son of a certain Jewish woman who believed. But his father was Greek. He was well spoken of by the brethren who were at Lystra and Iconium. Paul wanted to have him go with him, and he took him and circumcised him because of the Jews who were in that region. For they all knew that his father was Greek.
All right. So now, what kind of influence did Timothy's father have over him? Well, enough that Timothy, who was half Jew, half Greek, was never circumcised. And for someone who would have been all Jew, that would have been a big issue. And that was not the case with Timothy. His father had some kind of influence over him. But whether Timothy's father was faithful, it appears to me that he was not. Otherwise, I think Paul would have mentioned that, having mentioned his mother and his grandmother. Maybe Timothy, over time, had some influence on his father. Maybe not. We just don't know. We don't really know anything about his father. But here we learn some more about Timothy, too, don't we? So Timothy, from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5, we know that his mother and grandmother apparently taught him well, taught him about God because they were faithful, and in turn Timothy was faithful. But here in Acts chapter 16, verse 2, what do we learn? We learn that the people in the region of Galatia, not just Lystra where he was from, but also Iconium, they knew about his faith. They knew about him, and the believers at Lystra and Iconium spoke well of him. So it appears that Timothy was, quite established. One other passage from 2 Timothy that I think helps with this idea: 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15. And I'll read those for you. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. So it appears as though Timothy was taught how to be a servant of God from when he was very young. And it was evident. People around recognized that.
Steve,
And that's right. So this is very unlikely that this would have, that when it says the scriptures, it would mean any part of the New Testament. I just don't think any of, by the time Timothy was an infant, I mean, we don't really know how old Timothy was. We know something about his age, but we don't know how old he was. Unlikely that much of the New Testament was available, if at all. So yeah, this is talking about the Old Testament that he was trained in.
I was just going to comment on his age.
Same thing
is that he was young. We don't know exactly how old, but two times Paul addresses him at the beginning and says that he's a son. And then in, I think it's chapter 4, he says, be an example to the believer, or let no one despise your youth, and be an example to the believers more.
All right, yeah, and that was the next thing I was going to mention is we know something about his age. We know that he's young. We don't know how young he is. For sure, from 1 Timothy 4, we can clearly see that he's young in that it says that let no one despise your youth. So, but how young is unclear. And we can look to Paul calling him his son. There's two schools of thought on there. One is that Paul was older than him, which is most likely true. The other school of thought is that, you know, Paul had some hand in converting him, which I tend to not think is the case because of what we see in Acts 16, that when Paul comes to Lystra, Timothy is already there. So I think saying his son is speaking about his age. Kevin, you had a comment, and then Mike.
Yeah, debating whether to make it or not.
Okay.
Basically, this would have probably been at least 15 years after the church was established. The church would have been established around 30, 33. This would be at least in the late 40s or early 50s.
This meaning what we see in Acts 16?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, I guess by this time it had been established that a Christian didn't have to be circumcised as well. The council had already been held and things of that nature. That may have had some influence on his mother's decision not to.
Yeah.
Of course, that would have been a few years earlier.
Yeah.
It's interesting to know, kind of, and it's valuable to have a sense of maybe the time frame. This was 15 to 20 years after.
Yeah. Yeah. By the time Timothy would have, you know, 8 days after being born, all of those things wouldn't. I mean, I don't think Timothy's 15 here. I think Timothy's quite a bit older than that. So when he was born. I didn't want to go into this much, but when it says Eunice and Lois had faith, what was that? I think that meant that they were good Jews, and that they in turn converted to Christianity. But you know, when Timothy was young, what was he being taught? He was being taught the old law, because the new law wasn't.
Was in the process of establishing the church here.
Yeah.
So, anyway.
Mike.
I was just going to say about his age that. You know, why would Paul say, let no man despise thy youth, unless he was taking some kind of public part in the assembly? Because if he wasn't, why would anybody take note of it? So I would think he would have to be a minimum of 20 years old, and probably older than that.
Yeah,
he was taking some kind of part, whether he spoke with authority or just... You know, maybe took part as maybe one of our, you know, maybe a young man like in our assembly.
Well, what else? There's one other thing we know about Timothy that I think helps address your comment. What's the other thing we know about Timothy?
Evangelist.
He was an evangelist. Let's look at two passages. Let's look at 1 Timothy. Let's start with 1 Timothy 4. Someone read verse 14, and then someone else go to 2 Timothy 4. Verse 5. So 1 Timothy 4:14.
Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy with the laying on of the hands of the eldership.
All right. Wow. What on earth is being talked about here? Well, I think the answer to what's being talked about here is answered in 2 Timothy 4 and 5. Somebody read that for us.
But you be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry.
All right. We put these two together and it makes perfect sense now. Okay, so 2 Timothy 4 and 5, Paul just comes out and says, do the work of an evangelist. So Timothy was an evangelist. Now, if we didn't have 2 Timothy, I think we still could come to the conclusion that Timothy was an evangelist. by 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 14. Do not neglect the gift that is in you, which was given to you by prophecy and the laying on of hands of the eldership. Well, it wasn't that long ago that we went through this process of sending out an evangelist, and what did we do? The elders laid their hands on him. It would have been the same thing that would have happened with Timothy. So Timothy would have had his hands laid on him, and he would have been sent out as an evangelist. Now, I want to make clear that we've been looking at Acts chapter 16 when we first have introduction to Timothy. The writing of 1 and 2 Timothy happened much later in time. And so in Acts chapter 16, is Timothy an evangelist? Probably not. I don't know that. We don't know that. It wouldn't seem to me that it would make sense for him to be an evangelist, but I suppose it's possible, because you look at Acts chapter 16, verse 2, Timothy is well known not just in Lystra, but also in Iconium, so it seems like maybe he was helping in those different areas. But regardless, we know for certain that Timothy, but at least by the time 1 Timothy is written, is an evangelist. Other things make sense, right? 1 Timothy gives us the instructions about elders, about what their qualifications are. Why would he need that unless he's appointing elders? So there makes some sense there. All right. In Acts chapter 16, we find Timothy this is the first mention of Timothy in the Bible. So let's start there, and let's follow through Paul's journeys, and let's just look at Timothy, because what happens is Paul first meets Timothy in Lystra in Acts chapter 16, verse 1. And after this meeting, it appears that Timothy remains one of Paul's primary traveling companions for the remainder of his life. And so this Acts chapter 16, which journey is this? His first, second, or third journey? It's his second journey, okay? So remember that Paul in his first journey takes Barnabas with him. There's this dispute. And so this second journey, it's Silas. So Paul and Silas, they make their way to Derbe and Lystra in Acts chapter 16, which is in the region of Galatia. So now I thought about what's the best way to follow along. To be honest, I think the best way is if your Bible has a map. You might flip to the back of your Bible if you have a map that kind of shows you the direction that Paul takes on his missionary journeys. That might be the easiest way to follow along, because there's so much information here. I didn't want to read all of it, so I'm just going to kind of go through it. We'll stop and read a few passages. Okay, so, all right, we're in Galatia. We're in Derbe, Lystra. So from Galatia, Paul and Silas and Timothy, in Acts chapter 16, verses 6 through 10, along with some other people, they travel to Troas. Now, Troas is a coastal city on the Aegean Sea, and it's here that Luke joins up with them. We know that because of the change in how Acts is written. It changes from third person to first person, goes from them to we. So, from Troas, Paul, Luke, Silas, and Timothy, they cross the Aegean Sea, and they go to this Neapolis, which is a Macedonian city. That's Acts chapter 16, verse 11. From there, they travel down to Philippi and a few other cities, Thessalonica, make their way to Berea, Acts chapter 16, 12 through 17, 12. And we know this whole time that Timothy is with him. It's kind of interesting, right? So Paul meets up with Timothy in Lystra. I don't know how long he spends in Lystra, but long enough to recognize, hey, Timothy, why don't you come do some work with me? And so Timothy leaves and follows him. Now, that seems to indicate to me something about Timothy's marital status. And we don't have any indication that Timothy was either married or unmarried. I seem to think that at least through the travels that Timothy is unmarried, because he just picks up and goes with Paul. And a married man would likely not do that. Paul was unmarried. That allowed him to travel. Peter, who we also know or at least we know more about than the other apostles. Peter, what do we know of him? Did he travel? No, he sort of located himself. He had a family. And so, it's speculation, but I think Timothy probably was unmarried. But so they make their way to Thessalonica and Berea. There's some trouble stirred up there. And so Paul in Acts chapter 17, let's Let's read verses 13 through 15. So Paul had left Thessalonica. Now he's in Berea with Timothy and Silas and Luke. Okay. When the Jews from Thessalonica learned that the word of God was preached, I'm in Acts 17, 13, sorry, that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they came there also and stirred up the crowds. Then immediately the brethren sent Paul away to go to the sea, but both Silas and Timothy remained there. So those who conducted Paul brought him to Athens and received a command for Silas and Timothy to come to him with all speed. They departed. So some of the Berean brethren take Paul down to Athens, but they leave Silas and Timothy behind. So when they get to Athens, the men from Berea are going to go back to Berea, and Paul sends a message with them. Hey, tell Silas and Timothy to come down here to Athens and meet me. As soon as Silas and Timothy arrive in Athens, it appears as though Paul sends Timothy right back to Thessalonica. Now, we don't get that from Acts. We actually get that from 1 Thessalonians. So if you would, let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, when we could no longer endure it, we thought it good to be left in Athens alone, and sent Timothy, our brother and minister of God and fellow laborer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and encourage you concerning your faith. This just seems really strange, but when we read this, it makes sense, right? We know that 1 Thessalonians was written shortly after Paul leaves Thessalonica and Berea and is in Athens. So here it just seems as though that Paul is sending Timothy back to Thessalonica. Now, it seems as though Silas may have been sent to Berea. We don't really know. But we know that whenever this is done, they come back together. In Acts chapter 18, verse 5, Silas and Timothy return to Paul, but Paul has moved on to Corinth. So if you kind of get the picture here, Paul, Silas, Timothy, they're in Berea. Trouble is stirred up, so Paul goes to Athens. Timothy and Silas come to Athens to meet him. Then from there, Timothy goes back to Thessalonica. Silas goes somewhere, maybe Berea, maybe somewhere else. Paul moves on to Corinth. And Timothy and Silas meet him in Corinth, Acts chapter 18, verse 5. And it's there that Paul remains for a year and a half, if you remember that. And I think that Timothy is there. It's from here that Paul writes his letters to the Galatians and another letter to the Thessalonians. According to 2 Thessalonians 1 and 1, Silas and Timothy remain with Paul at Corinth, because 2 Thessalonians is written Paul, Timothy, Silas. Alright, so from Corinth, after a year and a half, Paul travels to Ephesus with Priscilla and Aquila. That's Acts 18, 18 through 21. And at this point, we're not told what has happened with Silas and Timothy, whether or not they travel along with them, or whether they stay, or whether Paul has sent them somewhere else. We don't know. Paul leaves Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus. He travels on to Caesarea of Judea and then on to Antioch. And this ends his second missionary journey. At this point, we don't know where Timothy is. Did Timothy come along with him? We don't know. Did Timothy stay in Corinth? Did he go back to Thessalonica? We just don't know. So Paul, his visit here in Antioch, which was the congregation that sent him out, Paul stays there what appears to be just a very short time. And then he goes on his third journey. He tells the brethren of his successes in Macedonia and then travels back to Galatia and specifically to Ephesus on his third journey. He remains in Ephesus for about 2.5 years, and it's here that we see Timothy with him again. Now, was Timothy with him the whole time? I don't know. But at least by the time Paul makes it to Ephesus, Timothy is with him. At the end of his time in Ephesus, Paul sent Timothy and a man, Erastus, into Macedonia due to reports that he received concerning the Corinthian spiritual problems. That's Acts chapter 19, 22. It's interesting that we read of this visit. So Paul and Timothy and this Erastus man are in Ephesus. Paul hears of some problems at Corinth, and so he sends the two of them to Corinth. Now, are you noticing a theme here about Timothy, right? Timothy is doing a lot of legwork for Paul. He's going to congregations to help out with issues. Appears to go back to Thessalonica to encourage them. Now he's being sent to Corinth to deal with problems there. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 17, this is what we're told. For this reason I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. So what was the purpose of Timothy and Erastus' visit to Corinth? Well, it was to remind them of doctrine. So Timothy and Erastus were also to deliver instructions to the brethren in Macedonia and Achaia. They were supposed to collect some money that would eventually be delivered to the church in Jerusalem. That's 1 Corinthians 16 and 2 Corinthians 9. But it appears as though when we read 1 Corinthians 4:17 that we get this idea that Paul has sent this letter and Timothy is not there yet. And so what it seems has happened is Paul sent the letter by way of the Aegean Sea, which would have been, you know, he. If you look at your map, here's Ephesus and here's Corinth, and the Aegean Sea is between them. It appears as though Paul sends the letter with someone else by way of sea, makes its way to Corinth. We can look at some other passages, 1 Corinthians 16:10, that kind of tells us, that gives us the same idea, that Timothy was not the deliverer of the letter. That the letter came ahead of Timothy, but Timothy is coming. And so it seems as though Paul sent this epistle by way of the Aegean Sea. I don't know, maybe he sent it with someone else. And then Timothy and Erastus seem to have gone by land. And that makes sense because they would have caught all those congregations that they started. So they go and encourage all of them and then they make their way down to Corinth. Regardless of what happens, Timothy is now in Corinth. Paul leaves Ephesus, travels through Macedonia and Achaia, maybe the same way that Timothy went, and makes his way in Greece. That's Acts chapter 20, verses 1 and 2. Now, what is Greece? Well, Greece is probably the congregations of Athens and Corinth. Dwayne?
Just a quick note here. I mean, you know, I'm wondering, well, how did Timothy learn the gospel? They didn't have the books. We've already said they hadn't been written yet.
Yeah.
But it's him being carrying those letters, which were turned into books later, but Paul's saying, my ways in Christ, which this is what I teach everywhere. So that's where Timothy then was educated in that. Now, I don't know his gift, and you may get back on that,
yeah,
later, but I don't know what that was, whether it was prophecy, teaching. May have had some of that in there. But he's learning a lot of this firsthand. So when Paul writes Timothy later on, he said, give attention to reading. So then he's reading old scriptures we know, but then maybe some of the new books and letters too.
Good point. Well, I mean, you can see Paul, Timothy is with Paul. And so there's got to be some teaching that happens then for sure. All right, so Paul has come to Greece. He's probably in Corinth and Athens. That's Acts chapter 20. And then Paul and Timothy themselves travel back through Macedonia. So they go back the way that they came. Timothy and a group of men leave Luke and Paul in Philippi. They sail across the Aegean Sea to Troas. Paul and Luke then join them in Troas. It's from here Paul continues on to Jerusalem, but we don't know if Timothy is with him. From Jerusalem, then, we know that Paul is sent as a prisoner to Rome. Now, we know from how Acts is written that Luke is with Paul. I think we sometimes forget that. When Paul is shipwrecked, Luke is with him as well. So Luke is going along with Paul. Now, is Timothy going along with Paul? I don't know, but we learn of a couple of other things about Timothy as we look through the Scriptures. Timothy does end up in Rome. We know that, right? Let's go to Philippians chapter 1, verse 1. If someone would read that for us. Philippians, Philemon. I should abbreviate a little bit better. Philemon 1, well, verse 1. Philemon 1, yeah, there's only one chapter in Philemon, so the first verse in Philemon.
Paul, prisoner of Christ Christ Jesus, and Timothy, our brother, to Philemon, our beloved friend and fellow.
So where does Paul write the book of Philemon from? He writes it from Rome. He's a prisoner in Rome. Now, who is with him? Timothy is with him. Now, is Timothy a prisoner in Rome as well? Well, I think the answer is no, just based on how Paul writes that introduction. He calls himself a prisoner, but he does not call Timothy a prisoner. But was Timothy ever a prisoner? Absolutely. We know Timothy was a prisoner. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 13. And Hebrews chapter 13, verse 23, if this is Paul writing, these are the reasons why we think Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, the things that we're going to talk about from Hebrews. But here, Hebrews 13, 23, know that our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly. Well, set free, well, he was a prisoner at one time. Now, how did Timothy become a prisoner? I don't know. It doesn't seem to me that Timothy was a prisoner when the book of Philemon was written. So did Timothy stir up some trouble in Rome and as a result get put in prison as well with Paul? I don't know. We're kind of speculating, but we do know that Timothy at some point becomes a prisoner. Now, is he a prisoner in Rome? We don't know. We just know he becomes a prisoner, and we know that he eventually is set free. And that's most of all of what we know about the life of Timothy. He travels with Paul. He eventually makes his way to Rome. He also becomes a prisoner at some point. Paul.
You were also right when you referred to Philippians 1:1.
Oh.
Because it says that Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all the saints of Christ Jesus at Philippi. And then a little further down on the 12th verse, he talks about Paul's chains advancing the gospel.
Yeah. So I just used Philemon because it made better. It was just one verse. But yeah, you're right. Timothy's there. He's in Rome. He makes his way to Rome. Now, does he travel with Paul and Luke? I don't know. We just don't know. All right. Any other comments about that? Now we've got another mess to deal with.
There's another passage that I think really just solidifies Timothy's role and just how close of a relationship he had with Paul as an assistant to him. And that's in 2 Timothy chapter 4. You know, toward the end here, he's saying, be diligent to come quickly because there's a lot of people that are leaving me and I need your help. Bring Mark with me. Bring my coat that I left back at this town. Bring the books, especially the parchments. Maybe mm-hmm. Timothy was the one that, I don't know, I just feel him probably as a right hand of Paul in assisting him in everything he did.
Yeah. Timothy is definitely significant in Paul's life. Significant enough for him to write him letters to encourage him to do certain things. All right, so let's deal in the last... I can never remember. Is it 10 after? Is that when I'm supposed to ring the buzzer? Okay. All right. So, oftentimes... I don't know why this matters, but we talk about it a lot. But at what point in time and where was this letter written from? Well, man, this is a problem. A lot of the other books that Paul wrote, we know, based on context, or sometimes he just tells us when it was written or where it was written from. That's not the case with the letters of Paul to Timothy and Titus. There are really no internal details that make it easy for us to say, oh yeah, Paul wrote this at this point in time, and so he was in this location. We just don't have any of that. We get the idea that Paul is much older. Timothy is older than he was for certain when he meets him in Acts. But we just don't have much to go on. Really, the only information we have is in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. And this is what it says. As I urged you when I went into Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, that you may charge some that they teach no other doctrine. All right. It seems as though that Timothy is in Ephesus when he receives this letter. Now, I'm not 100% confident on that. It maybe Paul is writing about something that happened in the past, but so here we know from 1 Timothy 1 and 3 that Paul went to Macedonia and Timothy remained in Ephesus. Now, we just went through all of Paul and Timothy's travels. And we're not going to rehash that, but when was Paul in Ephesus? Well, Paul was in Ephesus during his second journey, right? So, did Paul travel from Ephesus to Macedonia and leave Timothy? Well, no, that didn't happen. Because on Paul's second journey, when he was in Ephesus, he goes the other direction. He's going to Judea. He's not going up into Macedonia. All right, so it's not the second journey, unless there's something about the second journey that's not written in Acts, which is also possible. So, let's look at the third journey. All right? So, on Paul's third journey, he makes his way to Ephesus, right? On his way going. He skips Ephesus on his way coming back, remember? So on his way to on his way out, he goes to Ephesus, and Paul does go from Ephesus into Macedonia. The problem is that Paul had sent Timothy ahead of him on the third journey. All right, so that, again, is it possible that something happened in Acts that we're not, or something happened that was not recorded in Acts? Yes. But when Paul goes to Macedonia, Timothy has already left. So Paul did not leave Timothy in Ephesus. So what are we left with? Well, we're left with really one of two answers. Either there's some event during his second or third journey that is not recorded in Acts, or that there's another journey that Paul takes that is not recorded in Acts altogether. And this seems like the most likely scenario. And in the next 5 minutes, I'll kind of run through the thoughts on this. So, all of this is somewhat speculation, but there's some pieces that make us think that this makes sense. So, Paul goes to Jerusalem, he's taken captive, he pleads to Caesar, he makes his way to Rome. Paul is in prison in Rome. Now, we know that, well, we think that Paul was actually imprisoned in Rome twice. He was imprisoned for 2 years, he was let go, and then he makes his way back to Rome, gets imprisoned again, and that's when Paul is put to death. Some of that is just little bits and pieces of some history, but let's look at that for a minute. Assuming Paul remained in prison in Rome for 2 years, what did he do after that? Well, if Paul is the writer of the book of Hebrews, then in Hebrews chapter 13:23, we read, "Knowing our brother Timothy has been set free, with whom I shall see you if he comes shortly." Well, Paul appears to want to travel to Judea. He wants to go with Timothy and Titus to Judea to encourage the Christians there. So if Paul wrote Hebrews, and after he was released, he did make it to Judea from Rome, then, all right, we kind of see a line of travel here. Rome to Jerusalem, or to the region of Judea. There seems to be some support for that in Hebrews, the 10th chapter. They were having some struggles. He reminds the Christians there of some struggles they had had before, and it's Paul's intention to comfort them. Again, assuming he's the writer of Hebrews. So from there, while traveling through the Mediterranean Sea on way to Judea, they stop at the island of Crete. Now, follow me on this. Paul, we know Paul established a church in Crete and left Titus there, but we don't know when that happened. Go to Titus chapter 1, verse 5. In Titus 1, verse 5, "For this reason I left you in Crete, that you should set in order the things that are lacking and appoint elders in every city as I commanded you." Now, could it be that Paul just sent Titus to Crete? Yes, but the way this is written makes us believe that Paul was there. "I left you in Crete," like he left Timothy in other places. It appears that Paul was at Crete. Now, we know Paul was at Crete at least once, right? He was at Fairhaven on his way, on his fourth journey. But it doesn't appear as though that he would have had enough time in that visit to establish a congregation and leave Titus there. I mean, is it possible? Sure, but it seems as though maybe what has happened here is Paul traveling from Rome to Jerusalem, stops in Crete, leaves Titus there, and Paul and Timothy continue on to Judea. Paul then hears of some false teaching in Ephesus, and he travels to Ephesus, leaves Timothy in Ephesus, and then goes on to visit the churches in Macedonia. Notice what we're told, and with his hope of making his way back to Rome. Philippians 2:24 tells us, "But I trust in the Lord that I myself shall also come shortly." And we look at the time frame of when Philippians was written, doesn't really fit into any of the other travels of Paul, that he would come to the Philippian church shortly. So again, this kind of leads us to think that maybe Paul had some travels that aren't recorded in the book of Acts. So if that's what happens, he makes his way to Macedonia. And then in Titus chapter 3, verse 12, we find, I will send Artemis to you, or Tychius. Be diligent to come to me at Nicopolis, for I have decided to spend the winter there. Well, we don't see in any of Paul's travels that he makes his way to this particular town. So again, this leads us to believe that maybe this is part of another journey of Paul's after his first imprisonment that we don't know of, at least not recorded in Acts. So it's from there that Paul sends these two men to relieve Titus in Crete. Look at what happens in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. Here it says, Erastus stayed in Corinth, but Trophimus I have left in Miletus sick. It may be that Paul, while wintering in this town, hears from these two men who have, from Titus, that there's some trouble in Crete. And so Paul then comes to visit them. Corinth would have been on the way to Crete. Miletus, there's a Miletus in Crete as well as a Miletus in Asia. So it may be that that's the city. But eventually we know Paul makes his way to Rome. And there in 2 Timothy chapter 9, we know that Paul is a prisoner in Rome when 2 Timothy 9, 2 and 9 is written. And he says, For which I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even to the point of chains, but the word of God is not chained. Now, we had read this verse before, but I think this verse is talking about a different kind of imprisonment for Paul rather than his first imprisonment. Remember, his first imprisonment was, I don't know, I don't want to call it nice, but he had things that he was allowed to do, right? Remember, he was allowed to